Welcome back, everybody, to a super de-duper special episode of the Be Better podcast. You may ask, why is this super de-duper? Well, multiple layers here, because number one, we are recording and broadcasting live, not live actually, but from an airplane. And not only am I doing this on an airplane, but I'm doing it with a new guest. You've heard many people on the cast before. You've heard Coach Gabby, you've heard Devin, you've heard a lot of people coming on this, but a lot of times I talk about my wife, Jill, and lo and behold, our super special guest is, da-na-na-na!
Your amazing wife!
It's Jill! Yay! Welcome to the Better Podcast, baby.
Oh, thanks, honey.
How are you doing?
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so we are on a flight. We're on a Delta flight. We are flying from Minneapolis, and we are going to where?
Amsterdam.
And where are we going to go after we go to Amsterdam?
Well, we're going to stay over in a houseboat in Amsterdam for one night, and then we're going to go from Amsterdam to Malta.
Super cool. So, yeah, so we're going to Malta to our work, and we as in the royal we, I am working at a convention called the International Travel Insurance Conference. And it's kind of cool because I get to meet people from all over the world, and they are all involved in the travel insurance business. So since we were going to be on a plane, and since we were going to be traveling quite a ways away from where we started from, I thought it'd be a good time to talk about how do people travel and make it the best experience.
Oh.
Kind of get that. It's pretty snappy.
No, I like
there, huh?
It. Yeah.
So
it's good to know the topic right as I'm here.
Well, you know, I don't want to prep you. I don't want you to just come in and have some sort of prefabricated idea that
got
you're going to run the show.
Got it.
Because when Devin was on here last time, he just basically came in with an agenda.
And oh,
that,
he did.
That went sideways real quick.
Well, you know.
Real quick. So when people travel, and athletes travel quite a bit, you know, if you think about how people are doing world championships, they're going to, you know, qualification races in different countries, traveling outside the United States can be difficult. Even traveling inside the United States, if you're traveling, say, West Coast, West Coast, multiple time zones, there are things that athletes really need to prepare, and they need to kind of take into account to allow themselves to be in their best shape, especially if they're not having multiple days before the event.
Yes, fair enough.
Can you think about that?
I can. I think there's a couple of things that you've taught me.
Yes.
In our travel, throughout our travel journey in the last 14 years, one of them is compression socks.
Absolutely, and that was something you just put on, didn't you?
I did. I just put my compression socks on. And number two is water.
Yes, it is. So let's go back to number one.
Okay.
So let's go back to number one. Why are compression socks important?
Well, according to my understanding, being in the air makes you very dehydrated.
Yep.
And the compression socks, help with the swelling.
So because you're in a seated position, what it does is it helps with the swelling of the lower extremities. And that also keeps blood flow to the right parts of the body. Also helps, especially if you're in a sport where your legs are important, it helps keep your legs being fresh. So if you think about that, those are some big things. Because when you don't wear compression socks, do you feel like your legs feel kind of really like tight and I would say lethargic, bloated? Your shoes feel a little tight?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the reason I wear compression socks is because I want to make sure I can get my shoes on at the end of the flight. Because, you know, I take my shoes off and then they get all big and swollen.
So you're like John McClane.
Yeah, I got to get them back on, man.
Do you know who John McClane is?
I do. Die Hard?
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
Am I proud of you?
Whew.
Okay. So we're going to take this step forward.
Honey, this is not a good decision to go down this
path.
Sure
it is. Sure it is. Okay, you got this far.
Okay.
You got this far.
Okay. Right.
So where did John McClane spend his first Christmas in the first Die Hard with his wife, Holly?
At the airport?
No. That was Die Hard 2.
Oh. Yeah,
Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh, Nakatomi. Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Have a shirt.
Exactly. Nakatomi Plaza.
Nope, I've never seen it.
Oh,
never saw Die Hard 1.
You have never seen. We'll pull it up on the video screens.
All
here.
Right.
I didn't see Die Hard on there. I saw Purple Rain.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. That was pretty good.
Oh. Well, they were selling print shirts on our way in.
They were. There's a print store in the Minneapolis airport. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we got compression. Now, that's a big, big one. So that's something that a lot of people can get. Now, compression socks can be low tech. They can be high tech. You can get socks. You can get sleeves.
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing sleeves.
You can get tights. I don't know that the compression of your nether regions is that important, but I think just having good compression socks from the knees down is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good start. Yep. And I would say that could be a benefit even if you travel short distances.
Yeah, I mean, I find it a benefit after I go out dancing at night.
Yes, I have seen that happen with you.
Mm-hmm.
I come home
and I put my compression socks on and
make sure
I wake up without swollen feet.
That does work for you very well. Mm-hmm. So compression socks are one. Mm-hmm. You touched on the second one. Water. Staying hydrated. Now, it's a very dry atmosphere inside an airplane. It's very easy to become dehydrated. And if you're dehydrated, that's never good for an endurance event because, hydration, your water levels is important to have for proper blood viscosity.
Do you know what else makes you dehydrated?
Lots and lots of gin and tonics.
That is correct.
That's true. Well, you're saying that because the ladies are coming around with the cart right now.
With the beer.
They're coming around with the cart right now.
You have been known to consume a fair amount of gin and tonics.
Couple. There has been a record. So if she's asking for what I'll have.
Oh, wait, one moment. We're going to have to pause here while we order our drinks.
Well, no, she's not there yet. So,
oh, okay. All right, keep going.
But yeah, gin and tonics. The record is 8 gin and tonics. That was between Minneapolis and Orlando. Not a good choice if I was going to Orlando to race an event.
Yeah, no. Unless you were drinking lots of water.
Yeah, use the booze you lose, they say, right? Water.
Is that what they say?
That's the old saying. I've heard that before. Water. Probably avoid sugary drinks. Avoid soda. You can get in moderation. If you're on a long flight, alcohol can be helpful to fall asleep. Because a lot of times people...
So can Benadryl.
So can a lot of different things that people might take. That would definitely help you sleep. So with that, I think Colette is her name. I can see on her name tag. Exactly. Got the gin and tonic. Cheers to you. It's one of the best things about flying international is free drinks all the way around.
Yep.
Okay. Now, again, remember...
And these biscottis. Biscottis.
Is it biscotti?
Biscotti?
It's biscotti. It's Biscoff. B-I-S-C-O-F-F. That's the Biscoff. That's the Delta cookie. And she did give up both of her Cheez-Its packets to me. That's all. Thank you. That's what love is really about.
You're welcome.
All right. So let's get back to it. So alcohol can be good if it's in moderation and it is helping you to sleep, which is going to get us to one of our points down the road here about sleep acclimation, about getting your circadian rhythms in movement. So alcohol in moderation can help, especially because alcohol is a depressant. Helps make you a little bit drowsy.
Yep.
You don't want to wade bogs it. You don't want to, try and go, 26 beers.
No, I don't even think they give you 26 beers.
No, and I think I'm guessing you don't understand the Wade Boggs reference either.
Nope, didn't understand that one either.
No, okay. So,
you're welcome.
Well, so that was an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Where Wade Boggs reportedly drank, 16 beers or something on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, and so they tried to see if they could do it, and they got completely, crap-faced, schlitz, blatzed, hammied. Doing it.
Do you think hammied is related to hams?
Hams, the beer refreshing, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Do those go together?
No, just like I don't think it has the same reference to the word head. Mm. This is, I think that sometimes they're not, they're a little bit different. being hammied is being hammered or being you hit by a hammer, you're just not all there. That's where I think being hammied is.
As opposed to coming from hams.
Yes,
beer.
As opposed to being like a cartoon bear from northern Minnesota who is basically a drunk, jovial bear, if you think about it. Yeah, probably is not why. But, one of the most collectible beer items in all collectibles is the hams bear.
Not Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No, not Pabst Blue Ribbon, but the hams bear because it's more of an icon. Because it was a cartoon, it had a song. Do you remember the song?
No, I feel like my childhood has been wasted on Jem and He-Man and She-Ra, apparently.
Okay, first of all, your time is never wasted on He-Man and She-Ra.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, yes. But no, it's from the land of sky blue waters, waters, dun, 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 comes the beer refreshing. Hams, the beer refreshing. Hams. It had like this like Native American undertone, like, you know, like it was like a tom-tom drum, which is probably a little bit too racial right now. So that's probably why they don't do it so much. Well, it's probably disrespectful because I think it's just a drunk bear. But anyways, so that's where that came from. The Hams beer. Go Google it. You'll see it out there.
Honey, I feel like we went down some rabbit hole, and I'm hoping you're going to get us back out of it.
Absolutely I am, because you know what we were talking about is we were talking about using alcohol as a way to help sleep. Whew. And circadian rhythms are probably one of the biggest things that athletes mess up when they fly. So when you think about, let's say you're doing a race on a Saturday morning.
Okay.
We are flying against the timeline, which means that we're flying from west to east. So let's say we're flying from Minneapolis to, let's talk about people that flew to Switzerland for
shout out Ironman Switzerland crew.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's say we're going to Switzerland for a race, and we're going against it. So that means that the timeline is changing. So when we're going to land, it's different. It's a shorter amount of time. So what we want to do is we want to, number one, understand when we're leaving, and then understand number two, when we're landing. So you don't know what time you're going to be landing, don't know if it's going to be morning, evening. That's going to be a problem, because what we want to do is we want to simulate our bodies and acclimate our bodies during the flight to be as close to or feel like what it's going to be when we land.
So I know, that's why I fall asleep as soon as I get on the plane.
Yeah, but if you're landing,
and you are like watching videos.
Because I'm watching all the movies you never let me watch at home.
I understand, but we're talking about being prepared for a race.
You don't like it when I'm like, would you rather that I sat there and rubbed your hand and like got all snuggly with you? No, you'd be like,
not on an airplane.
You'd be like, get away from me. Stop touching me. You're just warm and you're breathing loud.
Yeah.
See, so that's why I don't do it. But let's say you're going to land at 7 a.m.
Okay. Let's say.
Then sleeping all the way through the flight would be good, because what you're wanting to do is you want your body to land and then be in the situation where it feels like it's morning time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why an airline will give you a meal right before you land, a breakfast. Because because a big piece of that, not only with the sleep, is getting yourself into your food.
Yeah,
because
you're back on track.
Exactly. So eating at the times you normally would eat where you're at. If you're going to land at night, then what you want to do is you want to stay up through your entire flight. So let's say we were landing in Switzerland at 10 p.m. We'd want to be up all flight. We would not want to sleep during the flight. We want to be up during the entire flight so that when we land, we're tired and we can go to bed when we get there.
Yeah, you would win that challenge.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
I, on the other hand, would have been asleep the whole time, and then we would get there.
And then you would sleep again.
Yeah, I would actually sleep again. I'm a really good sleeper.
I had somebody comment to me at school today about how fascinated they were on how much you could nap.
Oh, I'm a great napper.
You can nap more.
Was this someone's name that started with an A?
No. She is of Russian descent.
Oh, started with a V.
It starts with a V, yes.
No, I'm a great napper.
You are. She said that she was surprised on how much you napped. And so just take that with a grain of salt. So we're landing.
I take that as a compliment, by the way.
You can do whatever you like, because that's your prerogative.
Could have been meant as an insult.
It could have been a little bit of both. Six of one, half of the other.
Yeah.
But you know what?
No,
whatever.
I'm good in something, I'm good at it.
Yes. Like when you're good at being mean, you're the best mean person.
Yeah, I'm really good at it.
Yeah. So what's it? So
you know what the Copac motto is?
Dare to go to the front?
Actually, that is the Copac motto. We can discuss my parking philosophy at the end of this.
That sounds good.
Okay.
We'll go there later.
Okay.
So digging ourselves out of this latest rabbit hole,
if
you think about how much you're going to sleep on the plane based off of what time you're going to land. Also, what you're going to eat as well.
Okay.
So if you're going to be landing at, say, 10 p.m., then your last meal before you get off the plane should be a heavier meal, because that's the way you would be. And then when you get off the plane, you want to get to where you're going, and then you want to go to sleep. And that would be hard to do if you have not napped, or if you have haven't stayed up on the flight.
Would you suggest that athletes look at the meal before they get on the plane so that they know what they're going to be eating?
I think it's a good idea. There are very limited menu items, and there are limited modifications to the menus on the plane.
Good
point. You can ask for allergen. You can ask for um, you You can ask for things that are religious-based. You can ask for, you know, like a kosher meal.
Or gluten-free.
You can ask for gluten-free. There's
vegetarian.
Lots of there's, you can ask for all that different stuff. If you're going to really want to be in control, you're going to Hannibal Lecter it. You're going to bring your own little Tupperware of food.
Uh-huh.
That was the end of Hannibal?
I got it. That okay. one I did get.
You got that one, right?
I got it.
Okay. So you're going to bring your own food, pack your own food. And that's that can be,
yes,
know,
you used to do this when you used to race. I remember.
I know. That's because I was a smart cookie. And at least I had a smart coach,
really,
too.
Yeah. Or focused on. Yeah. You had a smart coach.
Now I'm just like gin and tonics and Cheez-Its. That's a completely non-coach thing to do or non-athlete thing to do. But that's a real coach thing to do. So we now.
No,
we,
but you can also go out and do a 65-mile bike ride with having eaten Cheez-Its and gin and tonics the night before.
That's just true. I also,
that's
for the
pretty
for
the, impressive.
I also, for the record, did do a 5K last Christmas after crushing a bunch of chowder, about
and
a dozen oysters, and at least a pitcher of beer.
That's Yingling, to be specific.
That may have been a feat that I never want to try again.
I know. When people say, I've had a beer, I can't go work out, that is not Chris Forthout's motto.
No.
It is.
No. That's a cop-out right there. That's right. That's a quitter's attitude right there.
That's right.
So now we talked about timing. We talked about sleeping on the plane. That's important. Trying to get the timing of your sleeping down, right? So if you're somebody that, like, becomes sleepy on the plane immediately, you have to do things to try and keep yourself awake. Maybe it's drink coffee, play a game, have somebody with you,
watch a movie,
do things like that. So it's important that you
sit up straight.
Exactly. Don't just kind of like veg out and start to crush G&Ts all the way.
That would be bad.
So now you get on the. Now we land.
Okay. So we've landed. Where are we landing, by the way? Switzerland.
We're landing in Switzerland. Let's say Zurich.
Okay.
So when we land, and we're kind of tired, and we get to our hotel, what's the first thing we're going to do? And
what time is it?
It is 10 a.m.
If you're an athlete or if you're Jill Swarthout.
Let's start with Jill Swarthout.
I go take a nap.
That's exactly what you do.
I do. Because
I'm tired. But you shouldn't. You should be getting up and going outside.
That's right.
And
I
you
should go
be
for a
moving.
Run.
Yep. We call it the shakeout run.
Oh, I should shake it out.
You get all Taylor Swift on that and you shake it off.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, if I was an athlete, I think that sounds like a phenomenal idea.
It is. So, but you know what? It's good for anybody traveling because your circadian rhythms are what keeps you right. So if you're traveling somewhere, you're doing it for a reason. You're not just haphazardly traveling. So it'd be work, pleasure, or whatever it might be. So if you're traveling for a work trip to Switzerland and you hit the ground, you're probably going to have to get to a meeting. So you're going to want to make sure that you're as fresh and you're as ready as you can. So if you're getting off and you've had your compression socks on, you drank lots of water, you napped when you needed to, that's when you're kind of preparing yourself for those really good, I would say, A-plus efforts and A-plus days after you land. Okay, so what are the things we talked about? We talked about
compression socks.
Compression.
Water.
I'm actually counting off with my fingers that you guys can't see while we're doing this. Number three.
Fair. Sleep.
Sleep or stay awake, but timing.
The timing of when you're going to get there.
Based on when you land.
Correct.
Okay. Four.
Napping.
No, not napping. What do you do post-landing?
Oh.
Either if it's time to go to bed, you go right to bed. Even if you're not tired.
Wait, did we talk about food yet?
We haven't talked about food yet.
Was that a number five?
Sort of was number five.
Okay.
So eating, as soon as you land, eating your meals the time you eat, even if you're not super hungry.
And the type of meal that you should be eating at that time, yeah.
Exactly. So starting to eat meals because your body has a memory. And so if you do that, it starts to get those circadian rhythms, which is the rhythms that allow you to sleep at night and stay up during the day.
Does that mean that when you land and you land in France in the morning that you should have a chocolate croissant?
You should have some La Croix.
Is that what that means? Is that what you're telling your athletes?
I think you should. I think you should have, if that's your breakfast of choice at home.
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
If you wake up in the morning and have a bagel with Nutella, like say you're a 9-year-old named Julian.
No, we're in France.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
we don't have a 9-year-old Julian with us in France. Well, maybe we do.
But I would say if it eat what is appropriate to the time that you are in.
You didn't get the joke.
I did. I don't want a Nutella. I don't want a Nutella croissant.
I said chocolate.
Chocolate.
Let's fight.
Okay. Physically or verbally?
How about neither?
There we go. How about we don't do that? So eating is a big thing once you get there. And once you get there, then you can start to, you know, start to get things done and enjoy it. But, you know, the big piece about the traveling is being prepared. I think I like to have, like, if you look at my bag when I travel, I have a couple of things I always have. Cough drops. Gum. Got a bottle of water with me because you never know when the little cart ladies are going by.
No, that's true.
Also, if you're
we're very good at the water.
We are good water consumers. Another big thing, especially if you're taking longer transatlantic flights, is getting up and stretching. Especially if you're not trying to sleep.
Yes, we stretch a lot.
Yep, getting up and stretching in the galley. And, you know, go and talk to the flight attendants. I was going to call them stewardess, but I know
it tells me when I'm supposed to get up and move, by the way.
It's beeping at you, isn't it?
I know. Move. Move. Move cleared.
But if you're...
No, we do.
Getting up and stretching, getting the body moving, that's always a good piece. Going to talk to the flight attendants in the galley, it's important. You know, because a lot of times...
sometimes they show you stuff that you're not supposed to see.
Oh, yeah. You did that when we went to Australia, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. They showed us where they sleep.
I was seriously angry. I didn't get to tour the 747 that time. I did not get to tour the 747.
Yeah, you're right. You were asleep.
I know.
See, you were sleeping and I was awake.
Yeah, but we were landing in the middle of the night. But remember... So here's another good thing. So this... Jill is now talking about a flight we took when we went to Australia. And we flew... It was the only time I've flown on a 747. It was a beautiful flight. We flew bulkhead. And we sat next to an Australian Olympic swimmer who was wearing a portable nebulizer to help her stay, her hydration levels to stay high, also to have the moisture of the air that she was breathing stay high, but she had some sort of medication inside there too, and I've never seen one since. But as I was talking with her, and then I eventually fell asleep, you got to go take tour of the, I'm assuming it was like just a tour of the plane, but you got to see where they slept in the tail.
One of the flight attendants took me where they take their naps or their breaks or whatever, because it's such a long flight that they actually have two shifts of flight attendants.
Yep.
And so she
said a 13-hour flight.
Like, yeah, no, I climbed up the stairs.
I'm so jealous, angry right now.
I don't
now.
Really remember.
I was in a rage.
Why she let me do that? Oh, I think it's because, was it our anniversary?
It was our
anniversary.
Oh, and she gave us
she gave us a bottle of champagne.
Yes, she did. She gave us a bottle of champagne, our whole bottle. That was pretty cool. We actually, if you go back to this, I have a little mini green iPod I use when I do race announcing. I have one of the videos that you took of those two ladies sitting across from us.
Oh, right.
In there. But now it's kind of broken because I think...
Do you remember that Julian was made in Australia?
I remember Julian was named when we were in Australia. We came up with that because that's named after Julian Dean. He's actually he's from New Zealand, but yes, that was... thank you for letting me know
Jay was
that
made in Australia.
There you go. Little Jaybird.
On that little trip.
Mm-hmm. That was good times. So, you know, traveling, it can be a lot of fun. It can be stressful. It can be problematic. But I think what it needs to be is it needs to be planned. It needs to have preparation to allow it to have as minimal impact as possible. And I think by just taking a couple of quick, easy pre-steps, having some repackaging, some planning, you can really make it a non-issue.
Yeah, I think thinking about your snacks too. I mean, obviously these Cheez-Its and biscottis are probably not the best decision if you're flying somewhere for a race.
No.
I do have...
But the meals are going to be pretty good.
I have two apples and a banana in my purse that I took from the Delta Sky Club.
How come you didn't tell me that earlier?
Well, you don't need to know that.
You're hiding things from me now?
No, but I need to make sure that I have appropriate snacks.
So now it's all about you. Who's going to save you when things go sideways?
Allison.
Yes, but she's not here, though.
Oh, well, I guess me.
Then it's just going to be you. Well, okay. Well, I'll remember that next time. Next time that I hide food. Although you did offer me your Cheez-Its,
I gave you my Cheez-Its.
I can't be angry, can I? Well, I couldn't
No,
be angry,
listen,
but
I do think that, like, bringing your own snacks on the plane when you're not confident that you're going to like the food is really important.
Yes.
When I first started traveling, I would say that eating in another country was very stressful for me. And the way that I overcame that was that I always brought a jar of peanut butter with me. Something I learned in college at St. Olaf, actually. So that you always had something to eat. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't find something that you liked, then you always had something to eat that would fill you up. Protein.
Yeah, that's my bag. Is of like snacks up the wazoo in it.
Yeah, it's a little easier now than, you know, 20 years ago when I first started traveling, so.
It is. I mean, I've got snacks. Like, when I work USAT races, I just take all the volunteer food and
But, like, when I went to India, I had to bring a jar of peanut butter with me.
You brought tortillas, too, didn't you?
I might have. But let me tell you, everybody made fun of me for bringing that jar of peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And then when we were in the hotel with breakfast where they had bread. They had white bread for breakfast, and they had little jars of jam. Yeah. And I took the jam, and I made myself a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch. And all of them were like, hey, I wonder what I'm going to eat. I'm sick of eating Pizza Hut for the fifth day in a row, because they would that's all they could order for us as Americans. I was like, hey, anybody want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Was the Pizza Hut in India the same as Pizza Hut here?
Pretty much, actually.
Really? Kind of half?
Why do you want to? I
can't remember the last time you had Pizza Hut here. It's normally
never.
I've had it.
As London would say, never.
Never. You shall not pass.
She doesn't say that.
She does say that when I'm trying to get up the stairs.
You shall not pass.
She says, you shall not pass. Aww. That's from something.
She's so cute.
She is. She's good. Her and her two missing buck teeth. So if you're flying, what are some of your biggest pet peeves when you fly of people?
Stinky people.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know, I have to say that I can't get frustrated with people with kids that are crying, mostly because we have four children ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had our fair share of flights.
Not only
with our kids, but
other kids.
Also with the Krugers, which I consider my kids as well.
Yeah.
Where?
Do you remember, like, speaking of stinky people, remember when we went to Kona?
No, but I wasn't with you. I was next to you.
You were sitting behind me when we were in Kona. We were flying to Kona. You were sitting.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even think you were sitting next to me. We were. So the story is we flew into Honolulu, then took a.
And then it was the flight from
Honolulu to Kona.
Kona to Honolulu, whichever one.
And we were in the airport, and I'm like, hey, who's that, like, kind of sketchy looking dude with the weird ponytail? Like,
and I was all, it's
That's
the
not
dude
a Skype,
from. It was the dude from Sister Wives, Cody.
Cody.
It was Cody and his fourth wife, Robin.
I didn't know her name.
And they were sitting and we
sat right behind me.
Well, first we noticed them before we got on the plane. I was all, oh my God.
It's Cody.
Which, by the way, like, they're not that impressive.
No.
Honey,
no.
You're way more impressive.
Well, you're just saying that because I'm holding the microphone.
No.
Yes. So Cody sits behind me, and Jill's all like, oh, Cody's sitting behind
it
you.
It is not my
you were.
Like,
she was like, Cody's sitting
first
behind
of all,
you.
He's weird.
Oh, my God. Cody's sitting behind you. And so what has happened? Cody takes his
flip-flops off and sticks his feet in between the seats. So his gross toes and feet are on the
armrest. It's like, oh, dude, stink pot. What the hell? Ugh. And they stank. And he had stanky feet.
So gross.
Oh, and I was like, oh, man. So Sister Wives.
Okay, so that's one.
That's why Brett Michaels' Rock of Love is so much better.
Oh, my God, honey, you're just aging yourself. That's the most impressive, like, reality TV show you can think of?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to do better.
As far as reality-based television, I think
Brett Michaels is the top notch?
I think Brett Michaels has a lot to offer. I mean, he's not the total package, mind you. He's no Hugh Jackman. But
maybe Hugh Jackman should do a reality TV show.
No, because that would scuttle the brand.
No, that's true.
That would totally scuttle the brand.
I am
very fascinated by the Hugh Jackman Ryan Reynolds feud.
What?
that seems to be going on. Have you not seen that?
No.
It's not necessarily a feud. They just kind of are.
Is this like Taylor Swift and Katy Perry feud?
No, no. They like each other, but like they diss on each other for fun all the time.
Is like, this like Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel
feud? I think it's a Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel feud all type right. thing. But I love Ryan Reynolds as well. Not
I know,
so
but he's
much Blake
married
Lively.
To Blake Lively.
Yeah,
I know.
But okay, so I love Yikes. Blake Lively. I love.
No, you don't.
I love the town Blake Lively.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't love the.
She's a whore.
I don't love the Gwyneth Paltrow wannabe Blake Lively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, yeah.
But I'm not going to slam on her. You know why? Because I love Ryan Reynolds and I respect him way too much. I respect him too much. He's there. He's that.
What
I'm
do you
not
think
gonna,
about
not,
Ben Affleck then?
He's kind of douchey.
Douchey or douchey?
Douchey. Like, he's
what does
douchey.
Douchey mean?
Well, if you're thinking
no,
about
it's
it in the
douchey.
If you in the well douchey. In the Jamaican term, douchey is a joint is like a marijuana bowl. Pass the douchey on the left hand side. Remember that song when
so
you were
you,
a kid?
So you call people douchies?
No, that was a joke for the douchey thing that we talked about before, how the lady didn't know how douchey.
Douchey.
Yeah, douchey. I think Ben Affleck, I think he's muddled the brand. I did like Ben Affleck at some point in time, but when
But
he,
you love him in the town.
Oh, yes. I love everything about the town. There's
and
nothing.
And you love Jeremy Reynolds in the town?
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy
Renner in the town is so good.
You're welcome.
And John Hamm may be the best. He plays such a great straight man.
Oh, you think he's good in that one?
Oh, he's so good. Mm. When he fakes and feigns the Boston accent.
What's
it's like, ah, so you guys didn't go and just go up to Norfolk and stop a store for a roll of quarters. No, you assholes had to go hold up a bank in the middle of Midtown. With machine guns. So he like tries to have it like with the Boston accent and he goes straight to his own. He's great.
Okay,
he's
but what's
amazing.
What's the woman's name that's in it that's
I don't know.
The main woman.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Claire?
I don't
know who
Claire.
I don't know who Claire
Ooh,
is.
Maybe we should watch that on the well, no, we're supposed to take naps. Are we competing tomorrow when we land in Amsterdam?
No, because what's going to happen is we're staying in a boat and we land at 10 and you're going to immediately go to a nap. When I'm going to want to go
like
walk
naps.
Around and you're going to be like...
No, I'm really good at napping. My brain needs it, though. That's what happens when you get a concussion.
No. See, this is a couples retreat, which means that we... Not a retreat. A couples week.
I was like...
Which means that we should be doing couples things. When we're awake.
Like napping.
Yes. No.
But I'm really good at napping.
I know you're good at napping, but that's beside the point. That's like me saying I'm good at playing hockey, and that'd be me.
No, you are good at playing hockey.
I know, but
no, you're really good at playing hockey.
I'm average at playing hockey.
No, you had like 5 goals. Is that what they're called?
Yes, they're called goals.
I shouldn't say it like that. I do actually know a little bit about hockey.
You do. You do.
I know a lot about football.
You know a lot about football. That's because you're from Chicago
I'm
and everything happens there.
I'm a little rusty since I've married you.
I do not think so. You seem to scream just as loud during Bears games as anything.
Yeah, Cole had to tell me that I wasn't allowed to swear.
Yes, you can't swear.
On Sunday when the Bears were losing their shorts
to
the Saints.
Bears have been not so good the last couple of years.
No, that's not true. Last year they were... doing extremely well. They made it to the playoffs, and then they had the double doink.
Meh. I'll give them a meh.
I mean, did the Vikings make it to the playoffs last year?
I don't root for the Vikings. I root for the Patriots.
You don't root for... Really?
Yeah, I back a winner.
Oh, shut your mouth.
I root for the Patriots. I root for the Patriots, and I root for the Tide. I roll Tide and go
you
Pats.
Dude.
I come in.
You
I'm like,
don't even know. Name 5 players on the Patriots.
Mark Gronkowski, Bill Belichick.
He's not a player.
Randy Moss.
He's retired.
But he was.
No, now this season.
Brady.
Avi.
The other guy.
Like,
Jones.
As in Mark Wahlberg?
Jones. Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg's on there.
The other guy.
And The Rock. Those guys all play for the Patriots.
Yeah. You're not a fan, dude.
I am a total fan. I don't need to know him just to do it.
Oh
you can't judge like that.
Yeah, well, yes, I can.
Sure. That's like saying
I can judge however I want.
That's like saying I can't come in mid, you know, like I would say, you know, mid-dynasty on being a fan for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I can
but
totally.
But you did.
I did, and I make no apologies.
You absolutely came in.
I make no apologies for that. Wow. Because you know why? Because I back a winner.
Yeah.
I back a winner right there. So don't even mess with it. Don't even mess with the program because it is.
All right, Roger that.
It is. All right. So we got. But what movies are you going to watch on the TV here?
No, I'm going to sleep.
Okay. So a better question: what are you going to have for dinner? Because I can start to hear.
Okay,
I can start
I'm
to
having
smell
the pasta.
Shocker there too.
Oh, honey,
the roasted chicken is cut. That looks pretty good.
Well, it's got rosemary on it.
And.
That's all I saw.
And so you don't like rosemary?
No, I do.
You like rosemary when I make it for you?
No, you made it last night. It was very delicious, actually.
I know. I'm going to have the rosemary chicken. I think that's going to be a good one.
So our choices are seared rosemary chicken breast filet with truffled mashed potatoes, green beans, and carrots.
Mm.
That sounds like a Minnesota boy if I ever...
That sounds yum-num.
Then I've got the pasta duet of fire-roasted vegetable ravioli.
Oh, there it goes by.
And a
look
pomodoro
at
sauce with mushroom mezzaluna and Parmesan Alfredo. I don't want Parmesan Alfredo.
No, because you know what there is? You go, there's a pound of bacon in every serving of Alfredo sauce. That's same amount of fat. Think about that. You're going to eat a pound of bacon? Moment on the hips, lifetime on the... Wait, moment on the lips?
Lifetime.
Moment on the hips, lifetime in your tax return.
That doesn't really go along with my body back transformation challenge that I have 1 week left of.
You balked at the Rice Krispie bar I had in the Delta Club
launch. I did not have the Rice. That is correct. And I hope my Fit for Mamas would be very proud of me.
They should be. What's our
landing? And then we have Thai chicken salad with cranberries, cashews, and apples served with sesame ginger dressing.
What's our pre-arrival meal? Because remember what time we're going to arrive.
Oh, we're arriving at 10:30 a.m.
Yep, so what's our pre-arrival meal?
It's a continental breakfast box with breakfast bread and yogurt.
It's going to be totally overrated. So I love taking flights like inside Europe. So I took a KLM flight from Amsterdam to Berlin.
No, they probably have an omelet for you on that.
I had an egg salad sandwich that was legit awesome.
No, I know, because KLM's amazeballs.
So I'm a little worried because we're taking Air Malta from Amsterdam down to Malta.
Listen, it's like an hour flight.
No, it's not. Have you looked?
No, I haven't.
it's farther than Minneapolis to New York. It's like a 4-hour flight.
It is?
Yeah. I'm legitimate worried there's going to be goats and chickens on our flight.
Well, honey, listen.
If there are,
we've never had goats and chickens on a flight before.
I don't need to have goats and chickens. It's bad enough when kids are there. I don't need
adventure.
Goat kids.
No.
Do you see that? Do you see what I did with that? Kids?
No, but you
goats
could
have kids.
I know, but you could do
you know
goat
what?
Yoga. If there's goats on the plane, then just do goat yoga.
I'm
like
not
we did
do
at
the goat yoga was like the stupidest thing I ever saw. Was the stupidest.
But you would have never
no,
tried
it
unless
it looked like a bunch
free.
Of people that were being violated by goats. Because they were basically on all fours,
pretty
and
much.
Then the goats were like climbing them.
And then they pooped on them.
They were terrible. Don't do goat yoga.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we have completely gone sideways on this thing, and the food carts are coming along, so we're going to try and wrap this thing up because I'm hungry, and I also need to take a nap, and I need to finish watching X-Men Dark Phoenix because John Wick Chapter 3 is no longer on the...
And I have to go to sleep.
And Jill's got to go take a nap because that's what she does best. So, hey, Jill, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Yeah, thanks for sitting next to me as well, and then thanks for traveling and being my wife.
Being your wife.
No, I love being your husband.
Oh, kisses.
Kisses, yeah. So for everybody, I would like to say hopefully this was something a little bit different for you. And we got plenty of looks and stares by the stewardesses. And
yeah, they asked us if we were on Skype.
I know. They were getting angry at us. They thought we were doing stuff illegal. So, by the way, this whole thing was influenced by a podcast I heard about from Ira Glass and This Is American Life. So that's why I wanted to do something like this.
Oh, we love that.
Yeah, love Ira Glass. He's really good. So thank you, everybody, for showing up. And thanks for hanging out with us for the last 40 minutes. This has been the Bee Biter Podcast. And for Chris and Jill, I'd like to say ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.